You're listening to Nick Treadwell's Storyville. This article was written by Ron Johnson following an extensive Skype interview with the artist Jacques Strudel. It first appeared in the Blockswitch Slacker on the 26th of March 2021. For this publication, Ron has kindly contributed the original recordings of the interview, records from his own private collection of Strudel memorabilia, and the voiceover narration. The Return of a Maverick by Ron Johnson. Part 1. Brothers by Other Mothers. Published 26th of March 2021 in the Blockswitch Slacker. As I waited patiently in front of my open laptop with Skype loaded, I wondered if this was really going to happen. I was about to speak to a living legend. A man synonymous with the kind of high art that has left many casualties over the years, including himself. A man who hasn't been afraid to take the lonely, precarious path between critical acclaim and red-faced, laugh-out-loud embarrassment. He may have fallen over the edge a couple of times, but he'd survived, healed his broken bones and wounded ego, dusted himself down and carried on, with his reputation intact. It was January 2021. The world was gripped by a pandemic in which isolation and social distancing had become the norm. So it seemed fitting that a man who had spent the last 20 years in hibernation, who had become comfortable living in his own shadow, chose this time to break his silence. I'd had to jump through many hoops and pull in a few favours to set this thing up. I had heard rumours on the street and in the underground art scene that the man was no longer dormant. I made some discreet inquiries, rebounding from contact to contact. I hit a few dead ends, retraced my steps and eventually turned a corner which led me to a man who put me in contact with a man who was an acquaintance of someone in the great icon's inner circle. Now here I was, waiting for that face to pop up on my screen in my house during a winter lockdown. The agreed time came and went, and my conscience was just beginning to discredit my attempts to even be in the same conversation as this great innovator when suddenly it happened. There he was, Jacques Strudel, a moving picture in front of my eyes. The man that had made teenage girls evacuate their collective bladders with just the blink of his eyes. He looked sheepishly mysterious in his trademark white baseball cap, which had been pulled down over his eyes, themselves hidden behind dark sunglasses. If I had any doubts that this was in fact him, they were expelled when he spoke with that distinctly unique French baritone voice. Having been an admirer of Strudel's work most of my life, coupled with the fact that I had chosen to be a writer, I dreamed one day of meeting him. So when he opened with the salutation,
Ron, it is a great pleasure to speak with you. I have been aware of your work since, you sent me a copy of the manuscript for your unofficial biography about Carol Decker many years ago. Now, what was it called?
I was about to prompt him.
Double Decker, how could I forget?
God, he'd actually remembered. I nearly shat myself.
Oh yes, your sensitive handling of her fight with obesity was admirable. Sorry I never got back to you, though. You know how I get when I get wrapped up in one of my projects, yes?
Of course, I replied. Don't worry about it. Jack had recently had an epiphany. All great artists have at least one if they're lucky. It had struck him like a bolt of lightning while watching the news one night towards the end of 2020. It would be the spark of his latest project and his first new music for a very long time. But we'll get to that in due course. After we'd exchanged small talk and I was confident I'd stroked his ego enough, we began to chat about those early days when he'd started out. Strudel shot to fame in 1964 as a member of the Strudel Brothers. While out celebrating his 21st birthday, he had chanced across the now legendary but obscure Parisian underground avant-garde jazz club, Le Bâtard, the Bastard. It was there that he came across René Trottier and Louis Toussaint, a guitar and drum duo performing as Tremblement du Monde Soutia, Tremors from the Underground, playing a dangerous fusion of new wave post-funk punk mixed with liberal spoonfuls of tea-time bebop scatama jazz. Obscure tunings clashed with irregular time signatures as Louis, in a kind of trance, sang in tongues, creating a brand new vocabulary for each performance. Jacques had never listened to music that had made his ears bleed before, and he immediately asked the lads to join his new band, adopting Strudel as their stage name. After several weeks of experimental rehearsals and a few gigs that truly tested the audience's mental health, the Strudel brothers came to the stark realization that in order to both retain any fans and make any money whatsoever, they would have to compromise on their art, play in 4/4 time, use standard Western tunings, and lay off the augmented flattened fifths.
It wasn't easy denying what came naturally,
Jacques told me across the jittering Skype screen.
But I sat down one afternoon with a guitar and wrote several songs that fitted my own take on pop music.
One of those songs was C'est Facile, Easy Does It, which would become the brothers' first top 10 hit in France and later a worldwide phenomenon.
It took me minutes to write that,
Jacques seemed to brag.
And when I reread the words back, I knew I was onto something because I literally loathed them. There was nothing challenging about the music too. It plodded along like a wounded animal. And when I came to record it, our producer, Valerie Langlois, decided to get in a small string quartet ensemble to add some atmospheric strings. I said, to hell with that. I want the whole orchestra, including the triangle player.
The result was described by one French critic as the birth of a new type of music, one that entrances listeners in a womb-like blanket of security, lulling them into a state of inescapable nostalgia whilst seemingly wrapping them in a cocoon of simplistic reflection. Easy Does It was uncompromisingly unchallenging, with lines such as, I took a walk in the park where the grass doesn't grow, where the swings swing and the lonely people go. I thought I saw you perched atop the climbing frame, but it was just a reflection, 'cause I know I'm only to blame. Don't worry about me, baby. I'll be all right, you'll see. I'll drive down to the coast and watch the junkies on the beach. Easy does it. Easy does it. One day at a time. Easy does it. Easy does it. You're dead in my head, and that sure ain't no crime.
Easy does it.
The Strudels' three-part harmonies soared in a sea of orchestral waves that transported listeners to a faraway island where nothing and no one could harm them. Safety was guaranteed. Several other songs on their debut album, Easy Does It with the Strudel Brothers, had chart success, including The Girl I Lost on the Train and Everything Will Be Okay When You're Gone. Shortly after the release of the album, the brothers embarked on a tour of Europe.
Yes, it was a very interesting experience, attended mostly by young impressionable girls whose hormones were already in overdrive, not to mention seeing us as their poster idols in the flesh. They basically erupted into a feeding frenzy. It was, well, let's just say it was very messy.
Between 1964 and 1978, the Strudel brothers averaged an incredible 3 albums per year, making a total output of 54, containing a staggering 540 songs, of which 108 were top 10 hits in a variety of countries.
We found a winning formula and we exploited it for all we could.
Explain, Jacques.
It did wonders for our egos, but turned us into fat-headed idiots. For instance, for our third album of 1969, Fireside Jam with the Strudel Brothers, I had written one song called Jump Into the Fire With Me, an intimate yet intense portrait of first love. Well, I got this idea that it would make the song more atmospheric and authentic if we were actually sitting around a real fire as we recorded it. I suggested it to our producer, Leon Harlequin, and he said, "Oh, I'll dig out a field recording for you." "No," I explained, "we need the fire live as we record the song here in the studio. I need to work with the fire to let its flames engulf the song's heart like the protagonist of the song is being besotted by this beautiful girl who will eventually burn out his soul and leave an empty shell." Leon stared back at me as if I had just asked him to eat his own spleen, called me a fucking imbecile, and said adamantly, "I'll get the field recording."
What happened next would enter into the annals of rock history. One night, Jacques, who'd gotten René, Louis and himself high on whiskey nutmeg shots, managed to persuade his bandmates to join him, breaking into the studio armed with enough firewood to reduce Notre Dame de Paris into ashes. The harebrained plan had them construct a makeshift fire. This was bad enough, but twin it with the fact that they were all experiencing psychoactive hallucinations, and matters became desperate. Sure enough, catastrophe followed, with their ability to think clearly removed and proportions skewed. The proposed campfire turned into a fully fledged bonfire that Guy Fawkes would have been proud of.
It was lucky for us that the track was only 3 minutes long, because soon the fire whipped up 6-foot flames.
Continued Jack.
Otherwise we would have been burned to a crisp.
As it was a close call. The boys barely managed to drag themselves out before the whole place was razed to the ground.
Yes, it was very hairy, all right. Good job that I managed to grab the reel-to-reel on the way out, though, because what we'd captured in those 3 minutes, when our lives were in the balance, was something very special. It had a real edge to it, encapsulating the thrill and fear of being in love. The sound of the fire crackling and popping, and flames rapidly leaping towards us, just added to the whole thing.
Jump into the fire with me, let go, be free. Jump into the fire with me, find life's lost key. Burn together, burn as one. Burn in passion, innocence gone. Jump into the fire, you'll see. Open yourself. To the fire with me, let go, be free. Jump into the fire with me, find life's lost key. Burn together, burn as one. Burn in passion, innocence gone.
I think we should probably go, yes?
The album was one of the brothers' most successful, with Jump Into the Fire With Me making number one in 57 countries. Any other artist would have been dropped or severely reprimanded by the record company, but the Strudels were actively encouraged to continue with their unconventional recording demands in order to fuel myths that would create a frenzy of curiosity, boosting record sales.
Yes, it was then that I realized that things had turned a corner.
Said Jack, sucking on a frog leg that he'd just pulled from the fridge. It was a corner that would eventually lead down a creative cul-de-sac and to the brothers' eventual demise. It was a slow death, however, and the albums kept coming, though sales started to decline.
I tried to hold on to the band as long as I could, but honestly, the passion was no longer there. I was under an immense amount of pressure as the songwriter. Everyone expected me to keep following the same recipe for those musical vignettes. Rennie and Louis, the record company, and the fans all craved more. I was a slave to all of them, and the responsibility was taking its toll. I was at a friend's birthday party one night. We had too much to drink. Things got out of hand, and a group of us started to inhale helium from the party balloons. It was just innocent fun. We laughed so much, listening to each of us' high-pitched squeaks, that I lost control over my bladder.
What started out as a childish joke soon turned into a disruptive and ultimately unhealthy obsession.
All I wanted to do was to have some fun and to release some stress, but I ended up causing havoc.
What would become the boys' final album took an uncharacteristic 6 long months to record due to Jacques' symbiotic relationship with helium.
It must have been infuriating every time they wanted me to lay down a vocal because I'd inhale a bit of 2-HE just before, and instead of my trademark deep velvety tones, they'd get a pint-sized munchkin trying to sing through fits of hysterics. I'd literally lose control over my bodily fluids.
Luke Tutty, producer of the aptly titled final album, Up, Up and Away with the Strudel Brothers, was by its release a nervous wreck.
I was in a bad way. What with the helium canisters littering the studio, having fights and falling out with the band members constantly, I was a lunatic, totally out of control. I think I was making up for maybe not having a proper childhood, though, you know, I just couldn't help myself. In the end, Luke was taking Valium every day, drinking and smoking heavily just to get through the project.
Luke Tutty would never work again. Shortly after the release of the album, his car was found abandoned near the Place de la Concorde bridge, Paris. His body was never recovered.
Typically, when I got the call from Tutti's wife that he was missing, presumably dead, I was high on helium again.
Shit! I'm really sorry.
I squeaked like a demented chipmunk, trying to sound as sincere as I could. Not in a million years did I think that an addiction to helium could have such a devastating effect. I hit rock bottom, spiraling into even more abuse. Things got so bad with my craving that I took to swiping party balloons from the tiny hands of kids whose parents had treated them while out in the town. I'd scuttle off down a nearby alley and savour the short but sweet, high-pitched high it afforded me.
Eventually, in July 1978, the inevitable happened. Just 3 days after the release of what would be the final LP, Jacques was rushed to hospital with a collapsed lung, punctured by a blast of helium from a faulty canister. He spent the next 2 months in hospital recovering, after which he booked himself into a private clinic for substance abuse. He eventually disappeared from public life, and the brothers from Other Mothers would never record again. Thanks for listening to this episode of Nick Treadwell's Storyville. Please subscribe if you liked what you heard, and be sure to check out my Substack blog, Letters from Storyville, at nicktreadwell.substack.com.